B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week's dog out of here.
Sports Hub, it is Toucher and Rich, 604 in the Town Fair Tire Studios, and I love that intro. That's that dude, Phil Vincent, who just would always email the station and just say, hey, I want to write a theme for your show. I'm like, dude, if you're going to do it. And he sent us these, like, CDs, by the way, too. Not MP3s, but just, like, CDs that he made. And he's in, like, eight different bands, and all of them shred. One of them's called Cranston, named after the most kick-ass city in Rhode Island. And every cover's got, like, a chick on it with, like, a guitar. And it's like, you know, but he's got, like, 17 different bands and things going on. And he goes, I want to write a theme song. And I'm like, only if you make it the most shred-tastic theme of all time. And that was what we were sent. And I was like, job well done. You knew exactly what we were looking for. Gratuitous guitar solos, absolutely high vocal harmonies. I'm all into it.
And all those chicks and all those chicks hang out only in Cranston. On the covers of all of those albums that he has released, they all hang out in Cranston.
Every chick else. Wearing jean shorts because that is the official outerwear of Cranston, Rhode Island.
Right before or Rhode Island Narragansett. Yep.
Well, out of Rhode Island as a state, as a matter of fact. A beautiful state, but jean shorts, I think, are a requirement upon birth once you are a person born in the great state of Rhode Island. It is going to be an interesting day. Today we got Danny Ainge on the show after a very good performance by the Celtics against a very bad Brooklyn Nets team that somehow beat the Bucks. I'm not quite sure how they were able to pull that off with that team, but Celtics looked great yesterday, and the Bruins looked better, and the Red Sox, hey, what do you know? They won. So not a bad evening yesterday, and it was all day long, 4 o'clock, 6:30, or whatever, that Red Sox won. And I almost watched the entire Celtics game, but I fell asleep in the fourth quarter. Almost watched the entire thing. Joe probably had money on it, which makes me think that he probably stayed up for the entire thing. Did you end up staying up till Geno time?
I had the over.
Oh, you won then, right?
Yeah, easily. Once they like hit that, I was like, I'm out.
Yeah, that was like the highest scoring game of the year for the Celtics. So
yeah, about time, huh?
Yeah, I know. You probably had the over in the third at some point, I would think.
They hit 23-pointers. I think that was pretty good.
Yeah, not too bad. Well, it was weird. Before we got on the air, I was looking at this story and you see one of these in the news all the time. I mean, they probably like, you know, once or twice a month you see something like this, but it was this person who just got pissed off at a fast food restaurant that someone didn't put ketchup on their burger, and so they went nuts. And there's a video of this person going behind the counter and like punching the employee, and it's like, all right. And you see this stuff all the time, and I'm still kind of wondering why people get shocked at this. Have you guys ever worked at any kind of, like, I mean, when you were in high school or college, you worked in customer service, right? Did you have a job that was either like, okay, what did you do? Joe, what did you do?
I had two jobs. I worked at McDonald's with my best friends, and we literally destroyed the place. but yeah, we had a blast. I don't even know if I should tell you some of the things that we did.
Okay, let's say you worked at a restaurant that wasn't McDonald's. What would you have done? To destroy the place.
Hypothetically,
if in like Bizarro World, you worked at some restaurant that just is, you know, we'll call it Dave's. Dave's fast food restaurant. Let's say
McDonald's. You worked at McDonald's.
McDonald's, that's right, the Golden Arch.
Well, we would like mess up we'd mess with people's orders that we knew.
Okay. That's not cool.
Nothing like, you know, it's just, hey, you want a 10-piece McNugget, you're not getting 10. You know,
you oversold it then. We thought there was something else.
Or like we'd skimp them a little bit too.
Well, you said you destroyed the place. I thought that meant other things.
I was worked with my best friend. It wasn't like, yeah, let's get a job at McDonald's. It was like, my friends work at McDonald's. I might as well go work there. and I'd find my friend sleeping in the ball pen, you know what I mean? In the morning, I'd be like, dude, what are you doing? You know, there was a lot of drinking going on during these days. Not while we were working.
I don't get that, man. I was always like freaked out that I would get fired. Like I don't know, man. It was something inside of it. I never, because I would work at places and dudes would just come in and like dip their hand. Like I work at like, you know, like a Subway, and there was a guy who I worked with who just would like take food off the line and eat it. And I'm like, what are you doing? He didn't last long because, you know, they came in, they're like, what are you doing? Like in front of customers would just start eating. I'm like, what are you doing? And so, I had that thing inside of me that was always freaked out that I was going to get fired. And you didn't have that? You were just like, I don't care. I'm just going to get another one?
Maybe early on. I don't know. I was always like the good. I worked hard. I was a good employee. It was everybody around me that was bad. So like that. but I will say this, though. I worked with two dudes. I met two dudes while I was working there that were huge wrestling fans. Like, I mean, bigger than, you know, Sarge and Jay Stone.
That's not possible.
No, it is. And these dudes would take trays and hit each other over the head to see which one would hurt more. And they would like literally like just grab trays like they were steel chairs and just hit them over the head with each other. And I'm like, who are you guys? Like, you know, like they were huge wrestling fans. I was too at the time. I just didn't realize they took it to that level, though.
Sure. This is dumb ways that you stay entertained on a slow day at work. Oh, yeah. I mean, everyone had stuff like that. Like, especially if you worked at, like, you know, like a customer, like any kind of retail or a fast food restaurant. Sure. I could see that stuff happening all the time. Like, someone goes driving by when it's slow and they look in, there's two dudes wrestling on the table, smacking each other with trays. I could completely see that happening.
Yeah. The best was, hey, you guys want to go break up boxes? We're like, yeah. We just go outside and break up. We'd beat each other up with the boxes. That was.
How old were you?
I had to be, what, 15 maybe?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. How about you, John? Where did you work?
I know this probably comes as no surprise to you, but I worked at an ice cream parlor when I was
okay.
You know, yeah. Steve's Ice Cream. I don't know. So you guys, you remember Steve's Ice Cream back in the day? And it used to be like a famous thing around here, Steve's Ice Cream. There was one in Lexington Center right downtown, and I used to work there. And, you know, there were the occasional, like, pick your nose and put it in the ice cream behind the counter. It was disgusting.
What? None of that stuff happened.
That happened. I saw it happen more than once when I was a kid. And they actually, I couldn't serve that stuff. I'd, like, excuse myself, and I'm like, I can't do this.
You see, okay.
It'll be fun. I'm like, no.
I never saw, and that's the thing, too, is that, okay, out of all, like, the movies of people, like, you know, screwing with foods, I never saw that happening.
So I didn't know any more than once. It grossed me out to the point where I'm like, dude, I need to take a break. I can't be here. Why are you doing this?
What the hell?
I mean, it was like one of those situations. It's like, that guy didn't last long. You know, and that's a kid who didn't last.
One of those people that like, hey, you know, I got my little small like ice cream. May I have a cone on the side? Did you just give him the cone, or like, did you charge? Like, I don't know. I always feel like I get a weird eye.
I gave him the cone.
Yeah.
I just gave him the cone.
Here's your cone.
Yeah. No. I mean, it's just, you want the extra sugar cone that costs maybe 35 cents to produce? By all means.
I get side eye when I ask for extra sauce sometimes.
Oh, you get nailed. You get nailed. I mean, the boss is always the true believer. I had a true believer as a boss. I had two bosses. One who was like the senior guy in charge that was like, don't worry about it. You're fine. But his assistant was like the true believer. And if you like put, you gave like a little extra ice cream to like a 10-year-old or added that one extra waffle cone, he'd take you aside. He said, that's not how it's done here.
Yeah, thanks. Like,
dude, we're taking it out of your paycheck.
Yeah, dude, I'm 16. I'm making $3.35 an hour. Go ahead. Take my five dimes. Go right ahead.
Well, I remember, so this wasn't until I was in college. By the way, the best gig to have when like you were over 18 was a bank teller, because a bank teller paid something crazy like $22 an hour.
Yeah.
And the only requirement to do it, you didn't need like any kind of degree or anything crazy with that. You just had to take this 2-week training class at this like weird facility where they taught you how to do everything. So like Mary and I both were bank tellers. And I remember there was a period that the bank that I worked for thought it was just this amazing idea to charge people $1 to use a deposit slip.
Wow.
So think about that concept. So people coming and say, hey, I just wanted to, you know, put this money in my own bank account. Do you have a deposit slip I could use? Yep. But we're going to have to charge you $1 to put your own money in our bank. Oh. And people would lose their crap. They would lose their crap. And I remember I just stopped like charging people. I would give it to them and I'd be like, because I didn't want to deal with it. And everyone would yell at me and I would have no good answer. They would say, why would you do it? It's always the same thing. It's my own money. Why would I pay it? And my answer would always be, I don't know. It's just the rule. So I had to, and they would get so pissed. They made this one girl cry at our branch. And finally, like after a while, I just stopped doing it. And after one day, the manager said, Rich, you got to start charging these people for it. I'm like, I can't, I'm getting yelled at. That very same day, my manager got yelled at so bad that she almost cried. And she told us just to go start getting, she said, I'll answer for it. Stop, stop doing this. And it lasted maybe a month later and they got rid of it. Cause I think there are a bunch of people like, they were so pissed off having to play. Can you imagine the balls on a branch to do on a bank to do that? Yeah. But they actually did it. So it pissed off people so much that people started leaving the bank.
Yeah, just go down the bank.
Just because of this dollar thing. And so finally, I mean, it was like one thing where I just, you know, you just don't want to be a dick at sometimes. And you see that at Chipotle all the time too. People just like keep it coming. And like, you know, if you're an employee there, just do it. Just, you know, why would you fight with these people? Do it. I mean, unless you're going to get yelled at by your boss. But what boss is going to yell at their employee for putting too much lettuce on a sandwich or too much, you know, tomatoes or something like that? Just be a team player, man. Don't be a dick in the whole situation. But man, that was, yeah, I saw that thing, that video, and I was like, dude, that just happens all the time. People lose their minds. Although if I got shorted a nugget like you were doing there, Joe Murray, we might have to come to blows as well. That's personal. You're stealing a nugget from me? Mm-mm, that's unacceptable.
I will say, and I know that we're under strange times here with the COVID world and everything, but I went to a supermarket recently and they have these rules that like you can't put anything on the runner until like the people are out of there or whatever. I had a woman legitimately yell at me saying, she went and or snapped her fingers at me and then pointed at me. And I literally go, nobody ever does that to me. I'm leaving. And I literally walked out, and all of a sudden while I'm walking out, I'm like about to walk out of the store. I'm like, man, I just wasted all that time getting all those groceries. So I went back, grabbed my cart, and then went to another cashier. But I legitimately I almost walked out over a woman snapping her fingers and going, on me. But, like, I'm out on that. You're gonna snap your fingers at me?
No, you're not six. No, that's not right.
But, like, they have these, like, standards now. And it's just, listen, yeah. I'm not doing anything wrong. I just want to get my groceries and bounce. Like, you know what I mean? Like, don't me or snap your fingers at me.
By the way, somebody said, could be worse. You could work at Bed Bath & Beyond and get attacked by the elders demanding a coupon. It was a battle Monday through Friday, 9 to 5.
Still do that. I was in Bed Bath & Beyond in the last three months. I saw it happen.
You know what drives me nuts? You ever go to like a convenience or corner variety store, and it's like, hey, can I use my like little phone number thing to get like the extra savings or whatever?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Some people just won't run it for you.
Really?
It's like, dude, you have the thing right there. I don't have it on
me. Why? Why won't they?
They just, I don't know. I'll get in trouble. No, you won't. Go, let me go see your manager. You're not going to get in trouble.
How do you get in trouble?
Don't give me the like when I was a kid. Oh, yeah, I can't get wet. Oh, what? Your mom told you you can't get wet? You ever heard that one before? Oh, I can't get wet before we go out. I heard that as a kid all the time.
What?
Like I had super soakers. I'm one of the super soak people.
Okay.
The reference was just random. You just threw there, I can't get wet.
What the hell is this kid? You can't get wet. Your mom said that to you? You can't get wet? I don't know. I just
We just took a turn. All right, so
I think this started with games from yesterday.
Okay,
we were talking about those games, and now I've gone down a rabbit hole.
Yeah, we may need to go down that rabbit hole a little bit later again because that was fantastic yesterday. All right, 617-779-0985. Let's talk about the Bruins first because despite the loss, at least you saw a little bit of life. We will talk about that. Also, your Boston Celtics and Red Sox right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the home of the Bruins, the Celtics, and these guys. Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Did you catch a game last night?
98.5, the Sports Hub is Toucher and Rich, by the way, real quick. I was mentioning, joking about Rhode Island and jean shorts and... A guy named Scott tweeted us and said, Rich, Rhode Island native here, literally was about to tweet that you're wrong about jean shorts here. And then, as I was saying it, 10 seconds later, drove by a lady wearing jean shorts walking with her husband. And she goes, by the way, I'm also literally in Cranston. So they're the only people I've seen in my drive so far. So
I lived in Rhode Island for 5 years. I lived in Warwick, Rhode Island for 5 years near Opponequit. It's south of the city near the AAA building. Those who live around there know where it is. And that is the epicenter, Bald Hill Road, that entire area. Rich is exactly right. Take it from a guy who was behind enemy lines for 5 years. There is no doubt that is absolutely correct.
It's the jean short center of the universe.
Oh,
is that what you're saying?
God, yes. Yeah. Oh, God,
by
yes.
By the way, rock them with pride. I've got no problem with the jean shorts.
No, I mean, but at least own it. You know?
Hey,
You are what you are.
You are what you are.
Wear it proudly.
John Cena, man. He's been making a living wearing jean shorts for
years.
That's
a good point. Yep.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has. Well, your top-seeded Bruins are the top seed no more.
Now a minute and a half remaining in regulation. 2-2. Far circle, fired by Gord. They score. The rebound kicked out in front. And it looked like it might have been Johnson who got that loose puck to make it a 3-2 Lightning lead.
Yeah, coming out of the box rusty, although turning things around in the second, but ultimately losing. And by losing yesterday to the Lightning 3-2, the Bruins now guaranteed to be out of contention for the top seed in this year's Stanley Cup playoffs. Now, after two quick goals by the Lightning, it looked like we were going to get more of the same from the Bruins. That was until Blake Coleman laid a questionable hit on Brandon Carlo, and Torrey Krug decided to drop the gloves.
And now Nordstrom. And it's going to be Krug dropping the gloves with Blake Coleman. They're at the blue line as Krug trying to fire up his team. Each man firing right-handed. Krug grabs a hold, tries to get a right hand free. Coleman with a right. And both men go down.
I love that. You're going to miss Torrey Krug when he's gone.
He did.
And things turned around after that because the Bruins started to look like the Bruins again. And unfortunately, I'm going to have to play a sound that will crush Joe Murray.
No, I'm fine. Listen, if the guy play the sound.
All right, there you go.
Near point now, Krug. High slot. It's fired. They score! A drive from the high slot that went through some traffic on the way to the Tampa Bay net, and the Bruins get it to deflect home. They're on the board, trailing 2-1.
It's like he didn't even say Charlie McAvoy's name.
I know.
He's on Team Joe Murray, I think.
Not a deflection, Judge Surratt. That was straight as an arrow, my friend.
That was an absolute rocket ripped by Chuck E. Cheeks right through Joe Murray's take machine. Yeah. Just ripped a hole right in the middle of it and blew it up.
It was great. They were, again, they looked like crap for the first period. I think we can all agree on that.
Oh, yeah, and then, yeah.
And they go up 2-0, and they give up a quick goal, and Murray's quick on a little text. See, Charlie McAvoy. And you look at the replay, it's like Zdeno Chara had no idea where he was and left the guy alone at the post. But Joe, in true Joe form, says, well, I have to say it doesn't support my argument.
It doesn't support my argument.
If it's Chara's fault and not McAvoy's,
yeah, Charlie McAvoy could have stopped the puck. I mean, he basically went off his own skate.
No, it had nothing to do with the goal.
Hey, you give it, you take it away.
Admit McAvoy was one of the best players on the ice yesterday.
McAvoy was the best player on the ice yesterday.
Yep.
Yeah,
listen, I give him crap. We need him to play like that every game. We do.
Yeah. I mean, it's true, and he's expected to play like that.
Now he will be expected to play.
By you.
Yeah,
by you.
It's true.
Yeah, I understand.
Well, listen, I mean...
Now McAvoy has to be an 11 out of 10 or Joe's going to jump on him. Right?
Possibly.
McAvoy has to be the best player on the ice every night. Let alone he has to be better than Bergeron, better than all these people.
The Bruins had a nice little comeback yesterday.
They played two great periods.
And Tuukka played great despite the bounce. That wasn't his fault.
Yes.
But overall, the best players on the ice were the Pastrnak and Charlie McAvoy. They were like the best guys on the ice yesterday.
Yeah, at least Pastrnak was firing away. And that's like what you wanted to see. And it was exactly what Bruce Cassidy was asking him to do. It's like, be a shoot first team. Stop screwing around. Stop making that extra pass. Just shoot, and something good's going to happen. And you saw that yesterday. Now, the Bruins held their own for the remainder of the game after that, but only to have the Lightning, of course, bury one with less than 2 minutes left. That was a kick in the balls. But the Bruins end up falling. Here is Bruce Cassidy afterwards.
Well, that part sucks. I'm not going to lie to you. But that's the situation this year with the stoppage of play. We knew the rules going into it, you know, that we would lose a bit of the advantage we'd gain. So we are where we are now. We're just trying to win a hockey game right now, get our game together for 60 minutes so that we can be at our best. So whoever we meet.
Now, as far as Tuukka, he was fine, and he had this to say about losing the top seed yesterday.
If you want to make a run in the playoffs, you got to beat every team anyways. So, you know, the situation is what it is, and I think the worst thing's going to happen to us, we're going to lose the locker room and our practice rink. So that's about it. I really don't care where we finish. I think we just have to focus on our game and try to improve that coming Sunday and then going to next week. But, yeah, you got to beat anybody anyway. So.
Now, I heard a lot of people give Tuukka crap for sounding like he doesn't care there, blah, blah, blah. To those people, I say, have you ever met an NHL goalie? They're maniacs. I mean, it's like they could be standing in a minefield and humming an ABBA song at the same time. They don't let crap like that get to them. And Tuukka's always been that way. He's going to be fine. You almost kind of – you want that mindset for a guy like him, just like with the world's shortest memory. Okay, fine. You know, next game. We'll move on. Blah, blah, blah. And, I mean, I understand certain players, but goalies, dude, they're just a different animal. And I saw people getting pissed off. I'm like, have you ever heard a goalie speak before after a loss? They're all like that. Mm-hmm. Except for maybe, what's his name? Back with, Strombone. Come on, from Vancouver.
Luongo.
Yeah, Luongo. Now, Luongo was a little baby. You know, that guy was a little whiny little baby.
Yeah, we didn't pump his tires enough.
Right.
But more to the point, I mean, what you heard from Cassidy and Rask wasn't just doublespeak after a loss. I believe the entire team feels this way. The entire team and the slow start kind of fits in. The jigsaw puzzle piece kind of drops into place. I mean, the entire team is using these three games to make sure that they're okay. And you know what? If slow start's a slow start. I just saw Montreal beat Pittsburgh yesterday. Pittsburgh's down 2-1. They're the 5 seed. If they lose, the Bruins don't have to deal with them in that first round. So, or second round, technically. But ultimately, I loved the last two periods. I mean, the last 2 minutes of the third period sucked, but I like that team that I saw. I recognize that team that I saw yesterday after the first period, and they play Washington on Sunday. If they play well again against Washington, even if they lose, I will think that they are ready because the Bruins are treating this like a kind of a glorified 3-game exhibition schedule.
I think the McAvoy goal broke the ice. They got lucky. The Wagner and Corrali, they were right there for a goal. Their defense is still an issue. It's still an issue.
It wasn't those two periods.
Corrali and Carlo on that final goal. They need to be better.
But the other part of it is Tampa Bay is an elite offensive team that had its top line out there and scored. I mean, that could happen. So.
But they cut Vasilevskiy. Like, it was kind of like, well, okay, there's one. Oh, here's another. Like, the Bruins had every opportunity to win that game. They couldn't get one past them.
Yeah.
And one little short rebound with a guy being out of place is the difference in the game.
I know that. And Tampa Bay does that to teams. I mean, I've seen the Bruins do that to other teams, too. Look, the Bruins looked uninterested and slow against for their first two games before yesterday and the first period yesterday. Then they showed that they can be quick. They can be quicker than other teams. Yeah. They can be quicker than the team you thought was quick.
There was definitely positives to take away. All I'm saying is if you thought that the Bruins could get swept in the round robin, you would never have thought that.
No.
There's an opportunity.
No, but after watching them, you kind of understand how that can happen. They're not taking it seriously.
By the way, the Krejci line is absolutely brutal. They should be crushed.
Richie was good. Richie brought a little toughness. Richie was good. Krejci was not.
Did you see Richie going out before the Zamboni to find his tooth?
Yes.
So before
he got his tooth knocked out, and like before, he didn't want the Zamboni to take the tooth away, so he went out and went looking for his tooth. I don't know if he eventually found it, but... Yeah. I think he actually did.
No, the Nesson cameras did.
I know the Nesson cameras like zoomed right in on it, and they showed where it was. But I said this yesterday. I said they didn't have to win; they just had to show me life.
They did, and McAvoy looked good.
Now you got to build on it against Washington on Sunday. You can't take another step back. But still, this is definitely a big step in the right direction.
Not a huge problem. All right, well, the Celtics obviously blow the doors off the Nets. We will get to that right after Joe Murray's headlines.
Toucher and Rich. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Like, I didn't really pay attention to it, and now I'm pissed.
Rich.
Put your dress as an ape and jump out of the bushes.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Got 98.5, The Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. By the way, The Darkness, the band playing right now, one of those bands that... Maybe you thought this was the only real song that they had, and they faded away. They've made, like, excellent albums since then. Like, there's, like, four albums, I think, since... Oh, maybe even five or six since this one. And they're amazing. they're actually a legitimate great band that, to be quite honest, I've listened to a lot over the last, well, basically since that one came out, which I think might have even been, like, 2006 or something like that. So there you go. There's a little recommendation for you. And we got ourselves a Geno time in the bubble last night. That was nice to see.
Grant Williams will dribble across half court, and a record night for the Celtics will come to an end. They finally break free in the bubble. The clock hits triple zeros, and... No, Caris LeVert would have had to score about 112 tonight to make this comeback happen as the Celtics, they wait 5 months to gain their revenge on the Brooklyn Nets, but they stick it to them and win it going away. The final score, Boston 149, Brooklyn 115.
Listen to that fake crowd going crazy. It wasn't even fair last night, by the way. Celtics score 149, which was good news for Joe Murray, who had the over. It was also the most they've scored all season. It was a beatdown, 149-115 to the Brooklyn Nets. It was a game that saw the solid players remain solid.
Tice for Jaylen Brown. Behind the tight screen, loads up that three, got another one. Fourth of the night for Jaylen Brown. He's got 16, Celtics by 20.
You're daring him to take it, and he's not bashful.
Jaylen Brown.
I can't stand the PA guy. I can't.
Yeah, I know. The PA, they got to turn him down.
Stand it. Well, that's the thing. The feed that Grandy and Max get at that undisclosed location, they have no say in it. That's the problem. They have to take what they get. That guy is tremendously annoying.
It's just as loud on TV as well.
Oh, it's like, awful.
Someone just has to step in and go, dude, come on, man. You got to turn this guy down. Like, he's not that loud when you watch it on TV normally. Like, you know, he's a little buried in the mix here. But as Gorman said, he sounds like a third person in the booth with him and Scal. But it was nice. The regulars did well. Jaylen had 21. Tatum and Hayward had 19. But it was the bench stepping up That was the best surprise of all.
Edwards to 12 feet, drop back to Robert Williams, cranks one up from the top of the circle and hits on his career night. 18 for Robert Williams in 16 minutes. He is 7-for-7 from the floor. That's the longest jumper he's hit in the NBA.
Those numbers going to look so good.
Yep, Robert Williams, the Time Lord, with the career night, 18 points on a perfect 7-of-7 shooting.
Hey, Rich, have you watched? They're not giving him an opportunity. I feel.
Robert Williams.
All right, listen. They say that Cantor does well, right? When he plays, he does well offensively. Robert Williams is a better defensive player right now than Cantor.
Well, the problem going into this was no one thought Tice was good enough to be a full-time center. They had a lot of pieces they were going to throw at the wall. Robert Williams is the best defensive center they have, but for his size, he doesn't rebound very well.
He doesn't.
Offensively, you're playing 4-on-5. Last night, most of that, like Robert Williams, most of his offense comes on dunks. And he did hit that one jumper from the top of the key. But you can afford to do that when you're up 35.
I get it, but early on in the game, it was fairly close. And Marcus Smart would penetrate, throw the ball up on an alley-oop. Like, that's something Brad Stevens needs to work into their offense.
They've got a great connection, by the way. And that's been going on ever since Robert Williams has been on the team. Smart and Williams have this thing. It's almost like they practice together, like for an extra, 30 to 45 minutes after everyone else leaves. Yeah, that is a real thing. Mm. And I kind of, you know what, it's nice to see that. And I'm not one of these guys, Mr. Pump Your Brakes. But it was the Brooklyn Nets, but I am glad to see him out there getting some reps because it's going to be nice to be able to turn to a guy like that. They're not going to do it often in these playoffs, but just in case they have to, somebody gets into foul trouble and they're able to get him in there, or there's a favorable matchup. He's a guy that they obviously want for the future on this team. Well, I don't know how much of a look he's going to get in this postseason.
That's another part of it. I mean, Robert Williams is very limited offensively.
He can shoot, though.
No, he really can't.
Nice shot, dude.
He can't.
I watched this dude play at Texas A&M. He can hit a mid-range shot.
He can't hit a mid-range shot.
Last night he did.
Yes, because they were up 35, and you can afford to take a shot from the top of the game.
I disagree.
If you go take a look, and you look at the statistics, what percentage of his baskets come on dunks?
Yeah, that's statistics. 80, the guy 90. Can shoot.
No, obviously not. I'm telling you, he's severely offensively limited. The reason he's not out there is he doesn't rebound as well as Cantor, and he can't hit threes like Tyson.
Now, Rich, I've never covered a Celtics game or did play-by-play for a Celtics game. I'm sorry. But I know that Robert Williams can shoot from the foul line area. He can do it.
Just because I have this stat in front of me that maybe might help Joe's argument a little bit, but, I mean, there are three games this year where he scored at least 10 points on 100% shooting. Now, I'm sure most of them are dunks.
Yes,
but I mean, that's fairly impressive. And to be quite honest, I've never thought of him as a bad shooter. It's just because maybe
they
I haven't had
to shoot
anything else. Oh, so now it doesn't matter.
No, I'm telling you, he can knock down that shot.
Robert Williams is not a starting center. He's not a guy who can play 30 minutes. He's a guy who can play 15.
Here's
or
what
10.
I'm saying. Great. Robert Williams is 7 feet tall. 6'9", whatever.
Yes,
he's a better option than Grant Williams. And at times, I think they should look at him over Shemmy. Go with the big guy and look inside instead of throwing him in there.
Less of Shemmy Ozeley and less of Grant Williams. Those two things are fine with me. But you were talking about taking Daniel Tice and Enes Kanter off the floor.
No. I'm saying Kanter is your offensive guy.
Williams is your defensive guy. He's also your rebounding guy.
He's a great rebounder.
He's an excellent rebounder. Yeah. And that's something this team really needs because I don't know if you've watched them. They're not very big. You need a guy like Cantor badly. Now, Cantor is a liability on the defensive end, which is why you have Robert Williams, because he is your best defensive center.
So take that, Joe.
60% last year from shooting between 10 and 16 feet.
You know why?
Stop. Don't kill me with stats.
He made three of five from that area.
Don't kill me with stats. He had a great night last night.
He had a great night last night.
You know what? If they can rely on him for under 10 minutes during the playoffs, that would be amazing.
Great.
But let's not freak out too much about Robert Williams. I like what I saw, and I like the fact that they – if anything, last night's game gave that bench a little bit of confidence.
You know who the guy to watch is, and we've been, Scalabrine has been talking about him the last couple of broadcasts.
Oh, Langford.
Yes.
Oh, and yeah. Definitely.
Watching Romeo Langford play with Marcus Smart, that gives you fun. Two very good on-ball defenders.
Hey, Rich, I think I mentioned this earlier this week.
Oh, yeah.
I did mention that.
You are to Langford as I am to Wanamaker. We're heads of the fan clubs, okay? Yes.
Romeo Langford, if he gives you anything on the offensive end, that's a guy who can play 20 minutes a game for you
Van
off the
Gundy
bench.
Van Gundy was like, who's this kid? I watched a little of the national broadcast last night, and Van Gundy's like, who's this Langford kid?
Yeah. Man, he could be your eighth guy behind Smart and Cantor.
There's no question. No question. And he's been nothing but impressive. Every time they give him a chance, he seems to be able to, you know, take opportunity or relish the opportunity, and he makes the most of it. So, yeah, I like
ninth
that too.
Guy. He could be the ninth guy. You know, you have Wanamaker, Smart, and Cantor if Kemba Walker's playing. I mean, that's a ninth guy.
I'm glad
guy.
You put Wanamaker at the top there. You put him first.
But listen, I always put Wanamaker. Against Toronto, who have a big like Gasol, mm-hmm. or Siakam or Ibaka.
You're not going to see a lot of those guys.
What I'm trying to tell you is why not put Williams in? When you're going up against guys that are his size.
Are you talking in the playoffs?
Yeah, I
disagree. Offensively, you have to lure those guys away from the basket. Ibaka is a massive shot blocker.
And he can shoot.
You need a guy who can go away from the basket and actually threaten to knock down a shot.
I know what it is. Everyone says no, but they don't try it.
All right,
and all I'm trying to say is try it.
All right, let's go to, is this Elias on line one? It says Alias, but I'm not quite sure.
Yeah,
is it
Elias.
Hey, what's up, Elias? How's it going, man?
Yeah, so I'm going great. I listen to your show every day when I drive to work. And I just wanted to chime in on Romeo Langford. I'm actually so bullish on him. I think he puts pressure on Danny Ainge to not only look for a trade for Kemba, but also put pressure on Hayward to sign a team-friendly deal. And let me explain. So right now, the Celtics, when they get to the finals, they run up to the LeBrons. They run up to the Giannises. And their defense is set up on five-out switching. When you have a cardiac Kemba and Isaiah Thomas, a miniature lead guard that can only guard ones, and this even goes to Brad Wanamaker. I'm sorry to hate on your dude, but they cannot guard threes, and most of those three guys can't guard twos. I'm comfortable with putting Romeo Langford out there, and that's the other thing is Marcus Smart was drafted 6th overall as a point guard by Brad Stevens. He can make every pass on the floor, and you guys were saying it. His lobs are looking really good. He's been passing to Tice, you know, and Tice can barely jump. He can barely get up there, and he's opening up Tice for lobs.
Well, the one thing, too, about Langford is just that good things happen when he's on the court. I mean, last night, you saw it. You don't look at his stat sheet, and it doesn't jump out at you, but except for the whole fact that when he was on the court, like it was a plus 27. Like, I mean, he's just one of those guys that makes good plays, and on top of that, I think that – is that the most minutes he's gotten?
In a long time.
It sure seemed like it. I mean, they kept him out there, and I like that. And I like the fact that he had confidence with him and he rolled with him. And it's nice to do when you're, you know, just beating up on a team like Brooklyn. But as I said, if anything, last night was a confidence booster for that bench. And that's what you needed because God knows you're going to need something out of them. You're going to need something out of it. And I like what I saw last night, and I like what I saw the other day when they were, even during the scrimmage game, I forget who it was against, Houston. When they threw him out there, it was the bench against Houston's, their starters.
Starters, yeah.
I liked what I saw despite, you know, they got beat pretty badly, but they held their own for a little bit.
Should we get rid of Kemba to give this kid more room?
No.
I don't think so.
No,
I think you don't
get rid of Kemba.
I think that guy graduated from Indiana, the guy we just had on.
His point is he can defend three positions.
Yeah, sure. Yes. I mean, Langford, he's been impressive. Been impressive, and I like what we're seeing out of him. But, you know, he's still young, and which is good. He's growing. All right, let's get to the Red Sox and also some good news regarding the NBA bubble as well right after this.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I'll tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich. And, hey, how about that? Red Sox didn't barf one up.
Alex Verdugo.
Get out of here.
High fly ball, deep right field, driving back Renfro at the wall, and that ball is out of here. It's gone. There's number one for Alex Verdugo.
And a shutout, too. 5-0. That wasn't too bad. Although, to be quite honest, I was more entertained by Jerry Remy talking about the soap operas that he and his wife watched together. That was strange when they kind of veered into that territory. Did you guys hear that last night?
Yeah, that's a thing. That's a thing with Remy. It's been a thing with Remy for years. That's all he does on the road. That's what he does at the team hotel. He watches soap operas. It's been a thing for like 20 years.
It's amazing how it's been a thing, and I've never heard it.
I tell you. I don't know what to tell you.
You know what's funny? I actually turned it on for a minute last night, and they were talking about the Luke and Laura days from General Hospital.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's like
Was Luke the guy with like the white guy afro?
Gray, yes, that's him. Yep. Yeah.
Okay,
He was the
Dan Shaughnessy of 90s soap operas.
Yeah, you didn't even have to watch soap operas and you knew about Luke and Laura. You know what I mean?
But no, all you had to do was buy groceries because his face was always on one of those little magazines as you're checking out, and it was like Hunk Dan Shaughnessy sitting there looking at you as you're. I mean, that almost seems like repetitive, saying Hunk Dan Shaughnessy. I think we all know that. But, I mean, yeah, he had that same curly kind of crazy hair there. I didn't realize that was his deal. But, I mean, that was, yeah, sure. I mean, that was nice. It was nice to see that. I'm at the point where, you know, I know everyone roots for a train wreck. But to be quite honest, it would be fine if they won a couple of games. It's just because it's depressing if they don't. And you know what's weird? Okay, all right. Real quick, something weird. Why did yesterday's game, to me, feel so much like a normal game, like a pandemic wasn't going on. It's because the Trop's always empty. Yeah. And to be honest, like if you watched that game last night, it didn't feel much different than a normal season game. Or like last year, if that would have been from last year, I'd be like, okay, fine. And I mean, it didn't feel, out of all the games we've watched, that one felt the most like an actual regular game from last season. You agree?
I agree.
Sure.
I didn't watch it, so yeah, maybe it was like
I did watch a little of it. Yeah, sure. I mean, it's Tampa Bay. They're much more mediocre. The Red Sox. Hey, the Red Sox won. Now they've only lost 2/3 of their games.
Sorry, Tom Perrin. I did watch an inning or two. They were winning 5-0, and I said,
"Be better." All right, be better, Joe Murray. Okay.
I mean, they pitched a shutout. Let's face it, Martin Perez. They shut them out.
I'm shocked he didn't get out of the first inning without getting line drives hit at him. I'm amazed. Good for him.
It's nice. All right. 617-779-0985. No commercials, just Joe Murray with your headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the home of the game. And these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.